Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 1st of July, recording at 9:31 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Well, in stock markets, it was certainly a very grim beginning, with extremely weak markets in Asia and also in Europe, where a number of the declines reached 2% or more. Wall Street was heading in the same direction. The Dow was down 150 points at one stage and then recovered to trade in and out of the plus column, and ended pretty near the highs of the day with the Dow up 32 points, and the NASDAQ up the S&P up nearly 5 points, the NASDAQ somewhat better. We had quite a sharp turnaround in NASDAQ futures. I'm just going to put that chart up, because at one stage I wondered if we were going to see a little key day reversal. Can't talk and chew gum at the same time. Here we go. Now, it didn't form an upside key, but it certainly did bounce off the low. And what else in terms of the highlights? The US dollar was a bit weaker in here today. Again, seesawing a bit, but sterling is currently at 199.50 against the dollar. The euro is at 157.92. And the Australian dollar is weaker, 95.43. Long-dated government bonds reversed some earlier gains, bond prices, that is. Crude oil, really swung about. It's something we're getting used to here. Got up to a high of 143.33, and then fell down to a low of 139.95. Currently is 141.40. That is up $1.40 on yesterday's late after hours close. Precious metals were strong, and there's a reason for that, which I will mention in a moment. Closed off the highs. At one stage, gold bullion was up at 946, and it's currently at 938.80. That's still up nearly $13.50. And silver also had a surge, up 78 cents. Okay. Industrial metals are mostly stronger. And in the grain and bean complex, soybeans were strong, hit a new high. Coffee was strong. So was sugar. The white sugar was particularly strong. Okay, so what's going on here overall as far as the stock markets are concerned? Well, I mentioned that the mood has been grim. And it has been what I've described before as perfect storm. And the immediate concern here today, some of this sounded a little bit suspicious, but there was a report that was widely publicized on Bloomberg and on the financial channels saying that an unnamed Pentagon official had told America's ABC News that the odds were very high that there would be an Israeli military strike against Iran, Iran's nuclear installations at some stage later this year. Now, there must be, how many Pentagon officials are there? There must be thousands of them. And this whole unnamed business and this news coming out at this stage, I don't know. I perhaps it's a bluff, perhaps it's a rumor, but you know, we can envisage the reasons as to why this might actually take place. Rumors have been around for a very long time. First, I remember I kept hearing that the United States was going to go in and bomb those nuclear installations in Iran. I've never really believed that because I think that the U.S. administration has already got enough problems on its hands in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the Israeli option, though, we've seen it before with Iraq, but talk about a high-risk strategy in here. And what made me a little bit suspicious is that against that background, you'd think that the oil market, which has been so strong in the last 3, 4 months, and you'd think with a story like that making headlines, that quite possibly oil would just spike up hugely. Now, as I say, it did get up to 143.33, but it's been there before. It was there yesterday. But it gave up most of that, and so we had fairly muted response. So I think I'm going to take that story about the military strike with a grain of salt. Or put it this way, I would be very surprised if it was imminent, if it's even being considered at all. And it's got to be a contingency plan, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. But just to deal with that, if we did get a huge spike upwards in the oil price, and there are all kinds of reasons why that, well, I think that would be almost inevitable if there was a major attack on those installations, and there would be reprisals, and this would drag on for quite a while. That's the sort of event that could easily tip much of the world economy into a recession. So hopefully it doesn't happen. Now, let's get back to these stock markets. Oversold in the short term, but a lot of technical damage has taken place. We know how bearish sentiment is, but it's hard looking at the patterns to envisage more than a technical rally. The patterns cannot support it because we would. Well, they certainly haven't all broken down, but the ones that have not broken beneath their January and March lows have pulled back far enough to indicate that this lengthy support building process will continue before it sustains a significant recovery. And the stock market indices that have broken below their January and March lows would have to rally well back above those levels to signal downside failures and to indicate that base building was taking place. Now, that's all for the bulls to prove, and without that proof, the best that I could envisage right now is a technical rally and temporary. Some short covering, maybe a little bit of bargain hunting, but there are just too many negative factors, not least the crude oil price. I've been saying for a while that we seem to be on a crude oil standard here, and that this is really the focal point of attention, and it's going to remain so while crude oil is still in this upward trend. This is the big one. This is much more important than the Western banking crisis, although that was serious enough. I think the crude oil situation is more important than the derivatives concern that has been the su subject of so much copy over the last few years. I think it's more important than the deleveraging that is no doubt a problem, more important than the housing weakness in the West, because really oil spikes affect absolutely every country, whereas the other problems with Western housing and the Western financial sector are not global situations. They have some global implications, of course. They slow growth in the Western economies. That has some knock-on effect elsewhere. But again, compared to the dangers from a spike in the oil price, well, they're not equivalent. So, really, we need some genuine respite in the form of at least a medium-term correction in the oil price before we can anticipate, I think, significantly better equity performance. Now, not all equities are doing that badly, but the star performers have been all along and remain in the resources sector, almost entirely in the resources sector. And I think that's still likely to be the case for a while longer. So, to go back to that image that I created for stock markets and oil, I described it as being as oil and stock markets being at the opposite ends on a seesaw. So as one goes up, the other goes down, and vice versa. But it's oil that's the big influence. So when oil prices are rising, stock markets weaken, and when oil comes off, they firm up a little bit. And you could say that gold and the other precious metals are sitting on the same side of the seesaw as global stock markets. And I think that will remain the case for the foreseeable future, at least until oil breaks this upward trend. And I mentioned all those levels yesterday, and just to repeat very quickly, when oil comes down to $140, all it's doing is coming back to the top of the previous trading range. It would have to go lower to ask questions as far as this upward trend is concerned. We would get a midpoint danger line violation at 135. Those who have attended the chart seminar will know what that's about. But the whole world will know that something might have changed if we were to see crude oil below $130, because that would take out the last reaction low. But it would really need to go below $120, I think, to confirm that a medium-term correction was underway. And then that would open the door for a further decline. Probably, in other words, if we see 120, I would then feel that oil would get closer to $100 before it saw 140 again. On a long-term basis, I maintain that this is a secular bull market for crude oil, and we will see higher prices over the long term. And in the short term, oil, as I say, is still in this reasonably consistent overall upward trend. Now, what else to mention? The long-dated government bonds, they've been a bit of a so-called safe haven quite recently. But interestingly, I see US Treasuries are trading when once Wall Street started to rally, those US bonds came off over a full point from the day's highs. The dollar, we're hearing a little bit fewer murmurings of dollar strength in here. It's still range bound. I think it will remain range bound for a while longer. But if we saw anything big for the dollar, my feeling is it would still be on the downside, because the base building bottoming out hypothesis is unconfirmed. The long-term downtrend everybody knows about. Now, looking at precious metals, again, precious metals are on an oil standard at the moment. That would always be the case. Do you remember the days when precious metals seemed to move in lockstep with Wall Street? Well, they're long gone. And sometimes precious metals moved slavishly in the opposite direction of whatever the dollar did. But to say right now, oil is that big influence, and if oil does move higher, I would certainly expect precious metals to do so as well. Copper's still pretty firm in here, big backwardation on the LME. And grains and beans. Now corn, which was limit down yesterday, closed 3 cents off, 3.5 cents off the highs of the day. It was still down 5 cents, but it closed. I'm looking at spot corn, closed at 7.52, and it had been down to a low of 7.35¾. So it's still within a little trading range here overall. My feeling, well, I maintain that yesterday's announcement about slightly higher stocks remaining in the U.S., corn supplies, that is, and slightly larger planting than had been originally indicated, that a lot of that crop is not going to grow to a high yielding maturity, and some of it'll just be chopped up as cattle feed. So I think that you know, we'll probably see higher levels over the medium term, if not over the short term. Meanwhile, the one that's in form since corn has faltered is soybeans. And I've also mentioned coffee. A number of these agricultural commodities are looking strong right now. Orange juice. It's one that Owens commented on today, and that really did surge yesterday off a low level, and looks technically interesting. Commodities are still the best game in town. And that's it for another day. So all the best to all subscribers.